WFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer for the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, coming to you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He is a philanthropist. He's a best-selling author, and he is a family office advisor to several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. It's good to be here.
Thank you. That's the most work when I get out on all week, you
know. I know.
I gotta start running in your races. That's what I gotta start doing. But anyway,
on your own.
Yes. Now you wanted to talk about first what?
Oh, I went to the Servant Leadership event, the 2-day conference down at the Omni on Tuesday and Wednesday. ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. It was great. Had some amazing presenters, folks like Stephen M. R. Covey, Ken Blanchard. Got to see our friends Bill Walton and Dick Enberg.
Mm-hmm.
They did a panel presentation. Dick could barely get a word in edgewise with the redhead up there. But no surprise there. So it was fun stuff. It was about 250, almost 300 people.
Down at the Omni. Wonderful.
Down at the Omni. Right, so it was a great event.
Right near Petco Park, where they had a nice fan fest today.
We even did part of the event in Petco Park.
Really?
It's like I spent almost a week at Petco Park between my book debuting at the library, and then 3 days of Davis Cup, and then...
Yes.
You know, 2 days down at the Omni and Petco for the Servant Leadership
event. Now, don't tell me Super Bowl Sunday you were down there watching the last us lose the last match. Did you go down there?
No. Okay. After Murray closed out Sam Querrey, it was time to leave.
Right. Yeah. I mean, did you go down there Sunday, though?
Oh, absolutely. That match was started at 11. It was fun.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot of fun.
So you got to watch the other blowout in the Super Bowl. So, wonderful.
Well, no. Querrey won the second set to make it even, and then the blowout happened.
Right. Yeah. But on Sunday, it was over. It was best 3 out of 5.
U.S. had to win 2, but when Murray won the first one, it was over.
So we lost 3 out of 4 matches.
Yeah, lost 3 out of 4. The state of U.S. tennis is horrible. Yeah.
Thank God for the doubles brothers or the
Bryan brothers.
But, hey, I did pick... We both picked Seattle, and...
You picked New England.
No.
They just never
got
there.
Yeah, but I didn't bet New England. I did all right, so not to worry.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, after listening to me pick Seattle for the last 19 weeks...
You're not going to get them all right, Richard. We just got the big ones right.
Joe, you can go back and listen to the podcast. I picked Seattle before the season started.
Well, yeah. I even said, mid-season, I watched
the
Monday Night Game, and they were like mowing through some team up there, and see, like, oh my gosh, if this team is on, you know, they might win it again next year. I mean,
yeah, they're so young.
They look pretty unbelievable. So, hey, Olympics, any thoughts on that?
I haven't really been watching. I just know our good friend Billie Jean King couldn't go because her mother's in very poor health down in Arizona, so we send her best wishes there.
I'm sure she's in better living quarters here than there from what I've been seeing on the... did you see some bobsledder on the U.S. team who got locked in the bathroom? He had to bust his way out of the bathroom.
Yeah, well... Joe, before I ran a 5K once where I won a gold medal, I was in a toilet stall and the thing was so rusty it wouldn't open, so I was stuck in there. I had to crawl out underneath.
So, okay. All right. You were running before you were running. But anyway... good. So let's see. Mayor's race coming up Tuesday.
Gonna be close.
It's gonna be close.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. Sorry, our friend Nathan Fletcher isn't in the mix, but hey, what are you gonna do? Hey, how about we get on with the show? What do you say?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about money tonight, since that word is in our title of our show.
Sometimes it's life, sometimes it's money, but obviously this one is both tonight, because obviously money plays a large part in all our lives. So, but we have a wonderful. We have three guests tonight, but we're going to go with the vice president of Regions Bank. He's an up-and-comer, one of the top 40 or 50. What is it, Sean? Top 40 or 50 people to watch in the...
I think that's come and gone, but it was top 40 under 40.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, we have with us Sean Puckett of Regions Bank here in La Jolla to take the first half of the show. So where do we want to start, Rich? We should talk a little bit about Regions or Sean?
Well, we're going to talk about the different array or, you know, the choices out there for small and medium-sized businesses to access capital. So we're sort of, I guess you could put it this way, we're going to start with the source that most people are most familiar with, which is banks, and the pluses and minuses and the challenges, frankly, with small and medium-sized business owners accessing loans from banks.
And the tremendous value of local community banks versus maybe some of the larger banks, and perhaps Sean could elaborate. But I remember the last time Sean was on, he brought a client with him. It was a wonderful testimony to to the success of their relationship and their banking relationship. You recall that, Sean?
I do, yeah. I brought Joe DeVona from IT AV Solutions.
Right. Yeah. One of the fastest growing companies in the in the whole county here. Mm-hmm. So.
And Sean, to sort of recap that, without being specific or overly personal about Joe's business, what are some of the attributes that bankers are looking for in businesses so that the business is bankable?
Well, one of the things that struck me about Joe's company, and just kind of flashing back to the show we did, was when I first met him, he had a young company. He started in his garage, and he had been in business for 3 years. He was profitable, but he had a really good business plan, and he had it all detailed out, and he could talk to every angle of his business with me, and I could ask him the hardest question I could think of, and he had an answer for it. And I was impressed by that, and I took him on as a client earlier than I normally do because of that.
And when you say earlier than you normally do, what do you normally do in terms of timing with new businesses?
I like businesses to be in business generally for 4 or 5 years, have worked out the kinks of their business, generally broken 2, 3, 4 million in revenue, and have gone through that first phase of entrepreneurship.
What I thought was interesting was you gentlemen went to his site, right? Obviously examined his business and his whole operation, right? And make it a house call, basically.
Yeah, so. we always do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you go and meet business owners on their turf, and they get to display what's going on, and it's super educational. Yeah. You learn so much by being there.
The other interesting thing I found about Joe is that he actually would spend time with his advisors, not only you, his banker, but, for example, also his CPA. Many business owners don't really spend time with a lot of their advisors, or they're using advisors like CPAs who are just compliance people, you know, just cranking out tax returns or what have you.
Yeah.
And not really sitting down and looking at the future together.
I'm glad you brought that up, because he reached out to me and his CPA about 2 months ago to put together our 2014 planning meeting, which we just had 2 weeks ago. And I'm sure you'll be happy to know that Joe was very disappointed with his revenue last year. He was only up 25%, and he thought he was going to be up more like 40, so he was frustrated.
Joe, you slacker.
But, you know, just to have the CPA in there in the room, and the banker and the business owner all talking about, you know, where the business is going is really constructive.
Yeah, I don't think enough of that happens with many businesses and their advisors. But so, Sean, if you, I know there's tons and tons of small and medium-sized businesses out there in the universe, but What percent of businesses are actually bankable, if you had to guess?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, how low is it, really?
It could be as low as 30%.
Yeah, I was guessing 1/3, 33%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what are the main challenges or the reasons why a lot of businesses simply can't really get in a position to be served by banks?
One is consistent historical profitability. And the frustrating thing for me is that sometimes the business's advisors are telling them saving money on taxes is everything, it's the end all. And then when they go to scale and they want to take that next step, they come to me and I'm looking at tax returns that are break even for the last 3 years, and I can't create a cash flow chart for them. So
yeah, and
that's one of the biggest things.
And they're giving you all these ad backs, right? Well, yeah, but yeah. I paid for this and this and this and this and this until I really made that. And you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, you signed those tax returns under penalty of perjury.
The other thing, and this will be a recurring theme tonight, I think, is collateral. Banks are looking for some sort of secondary source of repayment. So we want to see some consistent cash flow, and then we want to see a secondary source of repayment, accounts receivable, inventory, strong net worth in the business, guarantor net worth. There can be a whole host of things, but businesses that are growing quickly sometimes don't have that.
Mm-hmm. And which size business are you looking for, Sean, from low to high in terms of gross revenue? What's your bailiwick in terms of size of the business?
Well, being 40 under 40 still, mm-hmm. I can take on a $3 or $4 or $5 million company and grow with them.
Okay.
But I think ideally we're looking for companies that are on the very low end, $5 million in revenue up to $75 or $100 million in revenue, which is kind of the San Diego market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's our target.
And how does Regions Bank, being a community bank, how are you different than some of the big players?
Well, I think community banks are different in that they really know the neighborhood. They really know the town. They know who makes the town run, and sometimes they can make credit decisions based on reputations and the way the town works. That's community banks. I think Regents Bank stands out because we have a consultative banking approach. We think of ourselves as one of the business advisors to the business. So we're asking questions other people aren't asking, and we're challenging business owners to the best that we can, you know, to not be a yes man, to not be a lapdog, to really be a value add.
Wonderful. Hey, let's come back with more thoughts after we take our break right here now, Sean. We'll be back with more Sean Puckett from Regents Bank right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with more Future Money and Your Life with Vice President of Regents Bank, Sean Puckett. And you can hear this show on iymoney.com, by the way, tomorrow and thereafter. And we're back, Richard. Where are we going to go? Oh, Laurels for Leaders.
Well, I want to also say about Sean, because he gets his face gets red every time I say this live. He was named as one of the 40 most influential under 40-year-old people in San Diego about a year ago. So how about that? And Joe, I mean, with this young crowd nice we stuff. Have in the studio tonight, I'm feeling really old. But Sean,
me too.
You were named one of those influential leaders, not just because you're so good at what you do in business, but you also support a lot of charitable causes. And I know there's a great charity, Laurels for Leaders Foundation, that has an event coming up soon, right?
It does. Thank you. We're getting ready to do our annual luncheon on Tuesday, the 18th of February, right in between George Washington and Abraham Lincoln's birthday. So the foundation is Washington Lincoln Laurels for Leaders. It was established in 1957, and we're going to do our 57th annual luncheon.
Wow.
And the reason that we're getting together every year is to honor and recognize the achievements of the ASB presidents in all of the schools in San Diego County. So we have over 500 people there every year, and we're really excited this year because Todd Gloria is going to be the speaker, and he is a past recipient.
Oh wow!
Of a Laurels for Leaders
our
award,
our soon-to-be former mayor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so Laurels for Leaders got rebranded this year. We have a new website. It's laurelsforleaders.org. And our friends down at the CR studio in East Village donated 50% of the service for free. So they gave us a new website, a new logo, a new brand, and we're really excited to move into the future.
And where is it again, Sean?
Thank you. It's at the Doubletree Hotel down in Mission Valley.
Mm-hmm. And when is that coming up?
It's going to be on Tuesday the 18th.
All right.
February what time? 18th.
Kicks off at 11:30.
Okay, yeah. So 11:30 start for the lunch.
Mm-hmm. Midday
Got
event.
It. That's good stuff. So let's get back to talking about banking, though. I know a lot of business owners are under the impression that banks are only looking for loans. I mean, you know, people to lend to. What else are you guys doing, specifically Regents Bank, but also the industry?
Well, as businesses get larger, many times they succeed even out of needing to borrow money. And they still need banking services. And the money movement becomes more complex the bigger you get. And a good banker can be your architect for how to move money in and out of the bank, paying vendors and doing all the things that you need to do. So the advisory services that Regents Bank and that I provide, you know, can help businesses not just on the lending side, but just on their kind of daily cash management.
Their accounting side, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, plus I know down here in San Diego, sometimes you run into a lot of international applications too, right?
Yes, absolutely, cross-border.
Can't be avoided down here in San Diego, so...
And it's about bringing resources to those companies. And I learned as much from you as anybody that having a big Rolodex and bringing those resources to the businesses in San Diego can be as valuable as lending them money.
Yeah, and I think from, you know, any service advisor's perspective, to the extent that you're able to do that, I think it differentiates you in the marketplace compared to your competitors. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
That's why we always plug, you know, things like Star San Diego and all these other nice groups that are sort of helping people too.
Well, what did Billie Jean King always say, Richard? It's all about building relationships.
It's all about building relationships.
Yeah. Very key.
Yeah. So, Sean, let's assume that I've got a client who they're 3 or 4 years old, making some money, but they're not really at the point yet where they are what we call bankable. What other kinds of resources or sources of capital are out there for these kinds of businesses?
Well, I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that has a lot of money that he'll lend you for 30 or 40% interest.
Right.
There's factoring, which...
What is factoring?
Factoring is where you basically sell your accounts receivable to a company. They collect the accounts receivable for you, and they pay you up front what your accounts receivable are worth at a discounted rate. And it's good if you need quick cash, but if you do the numbers, it's very expensive.
Yeah, I've done the numbers. It's really, really expensive. Also, I guess what we call merchant lending or merchant account lending, very expensive.
Yeah, so I just met with a guy. He's been in business over 10 years in San Diego. I'm not going to say his name. He's a known quantity. But he fell on tough times in the recession and needed to take on a merchant loan for $500,000, actually. And he's been trying to dig out of that for 2 years, and he can't because the payments are so steep.
Wow.
So he's trapped in this loan, and he's trying to raise some equity right now, or give away equity to raise money to get out of this, but he's literally trapped in it.
Hmm. That is scary stuff. And we've got a great alternative to that, too. We're going to talk about that in the second half of the show, but that's why I wanted to ask that question.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more resources out there than I think a lot of business owners know.
Hey, since Sean was here last, you guys have a lot more locations, right, Sean? It seems like you've added quite a few here.
Well, we've still got the four locations in San Diego, but you know, our sister company, Grand Point Bank up in L.A. and Orange County,
Vancouver, Washington, though. And
the chairman of our bank, original founder Tom Young, was from that area. So we've always had a lending office up there, and it's one of our most successful offices. But it's interesting that we have a location up in Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, on a clear night, Joe, he could actually hear this show.
Right.
I'm sure he can.
So, Sean, we're sort of moving into income tax time. It's now early February. A lot of business owners are going to be sitting down with their CPAs to get taxes done. So they still have, you know, about 10 and a half months to go in this year. What kind of advice would you give small business owners about the things they should be looking at to maybe make sure that they've made progress towards being bankable this year?
I encourage them to open up a conversation with their banker and just ask them how they look at cash flow when they look at a business. You know, what's the breakdown? What does EBITDA mean to the banker? You know, what is depreciation, interest, and all of those different expenses that can be added back so that the business owner has a much more clear view when they're talking to their CPA about sort of their tax planning. Because, you know, burying all the money could bite them in the biting them in the end. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say the word you wanted to say there. But.
Hey, you said end.
The end.
Ultimately, I mean.
Well, yeah, I just I couldn't agree more. I see so many businesses where it's all about just reducing income taxes. And that's actually gotten accentuated because with the recent budget bill and, you know, top tax rate going from 35 to 39.6, there's a lot of talk about, you know, reducing current income taxes as being a big deal, which it is important, let's admit it is. But I think a business owner, Sean, tell me if I'm wrong, I think a business owner really has to look at what their end game is or what it is they're trying to accomplish. Is it just a business that they're owning because it, you know, makes decent money so they can enjoy the lifestyle they want? Or are they trying to build something huge where they can go public someday or merge with a competitor? Or
now I'm getting excited.
It, you know, is it a business that they want to keep in the family to move the next generation or the third generation into?
Yeah, now this is the most exciting part about my business. You're talking about enterprise value, you're talking about exit strategies, and you're talking about maximizing what a business is potentially worth. And you don't do that by showing a small loss every year on your tax return.
No, you don't. And I also think that you don't get to the finish line the way you want to in terms of the business's value and the ultimate exit plan or succession or transfer plan. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, if you disagree, unless you really start working on that 5, 6, even 7 years in advance of when you want this to, you know, to happen.
I absolutely agree.
And I think too many businesses, they really sort of pick up that project a little bit too late. It's like, oh, I want to sell my company next year. Well, the amount of due diligence and stuff that potential buyers engage in suggests that you probably should have started 3 or 4 years sooner.
Would you agree that most buyers of businesses are looking at historical activity as far as 3 and 4 years back?
They're looking at 3 and 4 years back, and they also look very closely at the income tax returns as opposed to the financial statements, because I think there's the general consensus now that that's whatever on the income tax return these days is what's true, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have hurt themselves, I think, because of that. Because, you know, the point you made that they're so concerned about reducing tax. I tell my companies that I work with who really want to do something significant someday in terms of huge value, that you just sort of have to structure your income taxes as a regular operating expense so that it's telling the same story that you're trying to tell overall, as opposed to trying to get that number down to zero, because that will not support what you want to do on the very back end if you're in a wealth building business. And I get some funny looks because they're like, well, you're a CPA. You're supposed to help me save taxes. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to help you increase your value and your net worth.
Yeah.
Sort of two different things.
And I also think that, you know, if you're 5, 6 years ahead of the game, you got to get a good team in place too. You've got to get the right team that knows how to get you to the finish line.
Yeah, banker, CPA, attorney, other advisors. Mm-hmm. It's all done collaboratively now. We talk about this on this show a lot. And Sean Puckett with Regions Bank is probably the best collaborative banker I've ever met, because he helps people that he can't even help in terms of getting them a loan by getting them in front of the right people into the right resources who can help them at that point in time. And that makes you a lot different than the competition, Sean. So my hat's off to you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Anyway, we're coming up on our long break here, new sports and weather. But thank you to Sean Puckett. He's going to stick around for the rest of the show with our other guests. So you stick around, too. We'll be right back right after this. If it's your money and your life, the award-winning show. And now over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Want to thank all of our sponsors, Michael Caranta and Drew Freitas with UBS. Couldn't do it without you guys. Of course, Regions Bank, Sean Puckett. We failed to give out Sean's email, but it's spuckett, that's with two T's, spuckett@regionsbank.com. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Pluto Epic CPAs up in Vista, getting ready for tax season. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. That's a common theme of tonight's show. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in San Diego. Brenda Geiger with the law offices of Brenda Geiger. Again, she has a big event coming up this week, February 12th, up in Vista. Get your living trust done for your loved ones for Valentine's Day. Much more romantic than flowers or candy. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, helping business owners improve the value of their businesses. And, of course, Servant Leadership Institute, servantleadershipinstitute.com. Again, a great winter conference. They'll be back next year. And that was a lot of fun and absolutely amazing event.
So, that's funny. Hi, honey. Here's your box of chocolates. And sign this.
Sign this. Joe, how could our listeners find out what they should and shouldn't sign?
Well, they should get on our website, iymoney.com. Click on sponsors. They're all there, including Sean, all their biographical information, their phone numbers, emails, everything you need to know. And Richard's been working with all of them for many years, with maybe one or two exceptions, but great success.
No exceptions, actually.
No exceptions. No. And great results and great outcomes to speak of, so which is why they're here. So yeah.
So anyway, now we're making history. This is the first time we've ever had the offspring of a previous guest on the show, but we're still talking about money. I've never been a big fan of, for example, merchant lending or factoring. You do it if you have to, and of course we know that maybe only one out of every three businesses is what we call bankable.
Right.
Well, but there's some other options out here.
Right. So we had on a few weeks ago Barbara Bree and Neil Centuria, which was a very entertaining show. They're premier authorities on entrepreneurship in town, and they're in the UT all the time, have books and everything. But we have with us the CEO and the son of Neil of DealStruck, and his name is Ethan Centuria. Ethan, welcome. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
So Ethan, are you as funny as your dad?
Depends who you ask and when.
Okay.
And then also we have a financial consultant with DealStruck, also Jason Fleming. Jason, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Good, good. How about we find out where these guys went to school and grew up in a little bit, Richard?
Short and sweet. And then, first of all, tell us what DealStruck does and then a little bit about yourself.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So DealStruck, you can find us at DealStruck.com. We make small business loans that are fair, transparent, and affordable, mostly to businesses sub $5 million in revenue who can't quite make it to the bank and are stuck on some of the more unhealthy alternatives that Richard mentioned, factoring, merchant cash advance. We try and give businesses a way to get bankable.
And your background is such, I mean, how did it get you into this business?
Well, high school, college, all that, born and raised, you know, just in 30 seconds.
Yeah, born and raised here. I'm a local kid. Grew up in San Diego, Torrey Pines High School.
Excellent. All
right. Went to school back east at University of Pennsylvania. Studied finance at Wharton.
Woo.
Went to Wall Street. My first job was at Lehman Brothers in 2008.
I remember that.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know.
Moving right along.
Went through the bankruptcy there and had some fun and left. Got into internet marketing. Started a company with friends. Built and grew that. Over the last 3 or 4 years, and left to start DealStruck.
So University of Pennsylvania and Wharton, all undergrad and grad, are all there, huh?
I'm just an undergrad.
Oh, undergrad. Oh, okay. But Wharton is a business school, right, too? You got your MBA there as well, or no? Just a business degree?
They have an undergraduate business program.
Oh, really?
As well,
so. Oh, accelerated program. Excuse me. How about you, Jason?
Yeah, I went to high school here in San Diego. My dad was a Marine and
high school,
settled here. Maestro Bernardo High School.
Okay.
Go Broncos. and then I went to USC up in LA
and
have been in and out of different financial positions ever since I graduated from college and hooked up with DealStruck about July, late July or so. And it's been a lot of work, but loving it ever since. And I think we're doing some pretty exciting things.
So how did the idea for DealStruck come to be?
So, you know, I had this background in finance and internet marketing, and, you know, I come from an entrepreneurial family, as you referenced. So I've always had a lot of respect and admiration for entrepreneurs, and saw what was happening in internet lending on the consumer side, people being able to consolidate consumer debt in ways that they had never been able to do before by, you know, your friends lending you money over the internet, or people you'd never even known lending you money over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that, you know, we should do the same for small businesses that were facing a difficult landscape. So you have Sean representing one side of the market, which are banks, prime customers, businesses that have been around for a long time, can go in and get a great product, low rate. But those that can't, typically there's not a lot of good alternatives for them, and they get stuck on these cycles that prevent them from growing. So I wanted to solve that problem.
And then do you seek out these potential clients, or do they find you, or a little bit of both? I mean, how does that work?
It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, small businesses are everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have folks like, you know, Jason sitting next to me, and a team of salespeople that do outreach on the phone. But we also do a lot of internet marketing, which is my background. We have a lot of referrals actually coming from local bankers and service providers who see us as a fair alternative and a transparent alternative that can take care of their customer, provide credit, let them keep the other services that the bank wants, deposits and treasury services, and help these businesses grow and graduate ultimately to a conventional relationship.
And how would you identify a potential client? I mean, is there something you read in the paper, or what are some good criteria or some good signals?
Yeah, I would say our target customer kind of falls into a couple of different camps. It could be a young business, been around for a year, is really just starting to turn the corner, and now is the time for them to access growth capital. But they're not quite bankable yet, and they're stuck with some of these unsavory options that are out there. And before something like DealStruck came along, you know, they couldn't access bank financing. Maybe they couldn't tap friends and family. Maybe the equity in the home wasn't there. But I think DealStruck provides a bridge, sort of the rocket fuel that they need to get fairly priced capital that meets their needs,
mm-hmm.
And helps them launch, grow, hire, expand. So we'll pick up on a business that's only been around for a year, and is on an upward trajectory. I would say our businesses that we're not targeting are people that needed money yesterday to keep the lights on. And that's where a lot of these other lenders type kind of prey on a lot of these customers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a marketplace for that. But, you know, what DealStruck is trying to do is work with businesses on an upward trajectory, whether they're newer businesses or maybe they're businesses that were beaten down during the downturn and are now just starting to reinvigorate themselves. And
you have some good success stories thus far, a couple of clients that have really, you know, you're keeping on track, you've turned their
Yeah, absolutely. Around. I'd like to give you an example of a company that we helped was an e-commerce company, an online boutique for high-end designer swimwear, which is typically not something that's going to be embraced by the banks because of overall lack of collateral. And they were stuck in one of these merchant cash loans. I actually had to do some back-of-the-envelope calculations for this client and tell them they borrowed $200,000. In 6 months, they had to pay back $255,000, which they thought was 27.5% interest. That's 27.5% interest, simple interest cost. But when you actually do the math and convert it into an APR, all of that interest is applied on day one,
mm-hmm.
and they pay it back in 6 months. So what he thought was a 27.5% loan was actually an 81.5% APR.
Whoa.
These are the sort of products that are out there. And they, for this particular client, it was one of the 5,000 fastest growing small businesses in the country.
Hmm.
So for him, it made sense. I mean, he could actually grow and cover the margin. But, you know, I think we have a much healthier alternative. We put him into a $250,000 term loan over a 3-year time frame. We dropped his payments from $40,000 a month to about $8,000 a month.
Wow.
Well, so a lot of cash flow that was freed up.
Wow. And then before the break, I think, Sean, you had you wanted to make an observation of about collaborating or what you're both doing. So what was your point before?
I was just mentioning that, you know, banks need depositors as much as they need loans, and a lot of companies don't borrow money, and then sometimes there's good companies that you want to be their banker, but you can't lend them money.
Mm-hmm.
DealStruck fits in really nicely because I can take a good growing company, I can bank them, and DealStruck can do the lending and grow them into being bankable on the bank lending side.
another great example of collaboration, right, Richard?
Right.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, I just think what DealStruck is doing, they're solving this sort of problem that was the middle of the market didn't really exist. You had all this stuff on the one side that was just, well, usurious, and then you had banks that are, you know, basically taking the better clients, and what, you know, most businesses who are in the middle needed a better choice. That's why this is neat stuff. But the other thing I like, you guys have done a lot of work on your website so that borrowers don't have to work with mounds of paper, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we make it pretty easy to get an application. Borrowers can come to a website. They can provide us a lot of information electronically. And we have a great technology team in-house that you know, works with a lot of external sources to help collect the information we need to approve a loan very quickly and without the borrower really having to dig through a file cabinet. So it's one of the great parts of lending online is, you know, we can take borrowers in and close loans in less than a week many times.
Yeah, so you're right on DealStruck.com. You can plug in all these numbers and find out if, you know, if you qualify for this or that. And obviously your contact information is there as well, right?
Correct.
Richard, what do you say we take our break and we'll get in our home stretch? So we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. We're back in the home stretch with It's Your Money and Your Life with Jason Fleming and Ethan Centuri of DealStruck and Sean Puckett of Regions Bank. Richard, take it away.
So, Ethan, how big is the total lending market? I mean, if you looked at the marketplace for bankable and you looked at the marketplace, say, over on the merchant side and the factoring side and then the piece in the middle, how many billions of dollars are we talking about here in the U.S. roughly?
Yeah, so the way we carve it up is there's about $1 trillion of outstanding loans to small businesses in the United States. Half of that is for real estate, commercial real estate. The other half is for what's called commercial and industrial, which is just traditional sort of lending, you know, working capital, grow your business type loans. The banks do about $150 to $200 billion of small business lending annually at the prime end of the market. And on the subprime end of the market or the bottom end of the market, the factors do about $100 billion. And these merchant cash advance lenders are growing quickly and now doing, you know, somewhere in the $3 to $8 billion range. But it's hard to tell because there's not a lot of data out there on those guys.
Yeah, they're sort of like hedge funds.
Kind of like currency exchange.
Not a lot of reporting.
Yeah, it's pretty opaque on that side of the market.
Money tree or whatever that.
So in terms of the middle of the market, loans. What you guys are doing, are there other folks across the country that are you consider your competition, or is it so new that you haven't seen a lot of this activity yet?
There's a few other folks out there, but it's so new. So there's no real large dominant players yet. There used to be companies in the middle of the market. There used to be companies like CIT or Heller Financial or Advanta, which did commercial credit cards. But for a variety of reasons over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, those have gone away. They've either been consolidated or they had, you know, credit losses that they didn't manage well. And so there's this huge vacuum for a national branded player to provide this pathway to bankable. And, you know, there's so much space out there that we don't really run into our competitors that much yet. But I'm sure that if you look out 3 or 5 years, we certainly will.
Can we talk about specific products you guys offer? I mean, I know you have more than one choice for your business clients, correct?
That's correct, Richard. We have a term loan product. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's, you know, one equal monthly payment over the life of the loan. We have an asset-based line of credit, which is a great alternative if you need working capital that's tied up in your invoices to traditionally what has been dominated by invoice factoring. Typically, anything below $500,000 a month in monthly receivables has always been the feeding ground for invoice factoring companies. And above that, sometimes there's an asset-based line of credit program for AR-heavy companies. We're sort of bringing that model down market to smaller businesses because there's a variety of features of factoring that people wouldn't want to use. You've got this third-party financing company that's stepping between you and your customer. It's not actually building business credit. You're just selling your receivables for upfront cash. This is a more mature product. It's much easier to use. It's a lot less expensive than factoring. And we're bringing that to really the masses at the lower end of the market.
Do you have an example of how how one of your customers has benefited from a term loan?
Oh, a term loan? Well, sure. I mean, we've got companies that want to expand into new locations. We've got a company here in San Diego called ShakeSmart. Started by a couple of entrepreneurs at San Diego State. Great thriving business, great concept, and they do these organic shake mixes. and they want to build new locations. And I think they've got a funding partner with DealStruck, and they're going to grow and expand and open new locations, and our term financing is a great solution for that.
And interestingly enough, on that company, it was actually a referral from a bank, from a local loan officer that saw the value of their business, knew they were doing well, but they didn't quite have the longevity, the years in business to qualify. So that's where we can, one day, we'll probably pass this company back to where it came from.
No, I see it's a case study on your website, and it's a pretty sharp-looking business they have. Where is that located? Do you know the vending area?
Yeah, they have four locations in San Diego. I believe one on Camp Pendleton, one up in Carlsbad, 24-hour fitness, two down on San Diego State University where it was started, and they're opening two more with the financing we were able to help them with.
Good for them. Good.
So are you guys growing rapidly? It would seem like you are.
Yeah, we're growing quite quickly. I think we're probably pleasantly surprised by the reception of the market to the products, the pricing, the structure that we have out there. And I think that just demonstrates that there's a huge need. There's a huge unmet demand. And even without a lot of branding, without a lot of marketing, we're a relatively new player. We're growing quickly. And it just shows that this is something that needs to exist.
What do you think you guys will look like in about 5 years if you were looking that far down the road? I'm just curious.
So in 5 years, we'll be a national presence, and we aspire to be the first place that people go to get a small business loan. Right now, the internet tends to be a place where after you've gone to your bank or after you've gone to your uncle or cousin and you don't know anywhere else to go in your town, you say, well, where can I get a loan? And you go hit Google. But that's changing as people my age, in the 30 and sub-30 and early 30s become the business owners of the future. They're going to go to the internet first, and that's where we want to be the dominant presence in small business lending.
How many states you qualified in now?
We're in about 13 states, rolling out a handful of states every quarter or so, with the expectation in less than 18 months we'll be across the country.
Have you gotten good reception from bankers and CPAs, or is what you're doing still pretty much a mystery to them?
We've gotten pretty good reception. There's certainly more than a handful of transactions in our first few months out that came from loan officers at banks and that really just don't want to put their customer into an 80% loan like Jason referenced earlier. So if they can get proper financing that's transparent, that they understand, where they know they can keep that customer, they think quite highly of us. And likewise on the CPA side, in fact, we have a number of CPAs that have borrowed from us. So those guys certainly have their tax returns in proper condition.
Oh, don't mention that word, tax returns. I was at my office today getting my daughter's tax return done. I'm like, isn't there somebody around here who can do this for me, for her? Why me? Anyway, funny. So does Neil spend much time at your office? I'm just curious. He turned this over to the young guard.
Oh, we haven't given him the address yet.
Okay, good. You're smart. I was going to say.
No, but he's a great advisor to the company. He's on our board and certainly fortunate to have a father who's also a mentor and has been in the trenches himself more than a handful of times.
Well, I fully expect you guys to be on CNBC one of these days or some one of these business shows getting interviewed. So getting any press yet other than what we're doing tonight? Are you still?
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten some great coverage from other publications in town, San Diego Business Journal, Exconomy, but we've also been covered by a lot of the tech blogs out there like VentureBeat and had some conversations with some of the national papers. Because this is a huge topic. I mean, small businesses run the country. So everyone's interested in it. Everyone knows they need help. And our story resonates with them.
Yeah, you got to go after like CNET or some of these other internet-based companies or entities. It could be just high-tech product. But obviously, you're bringing in a financial niche now that they need to know about, right? So that's cool.
Hey, I'm curious. I love the name DealStruck. How'd that name come about?
There's not as good of a story as you'd like,
okay,
but
darn it.
We went through a naming process. It was frankly in 18 months now about being in business. It was probably the hardest thing we had to do so far. It's really difficult. What we love about it though is that one, it's past tense, so you think about already having your deal struck.
Yeah, like deal done, deal and, struck,
done deal,
and being awestruck, deal struck. We hope that you leave your experience with us, sort of with a twinkle in your eyes and waiting to come back.
Well, that's a pretty good story. Why would you say that wasn't such a good story?
Yeah, we're coming to the home stretch though here. But just a quick wrap. You have anything to ask these guys?
I just think it's neat that there's now an alternative that is sort of here in the middle of the market, because I think that's what most business owners need.
Yes,
because on this progression towards being bankable, there just simply hasn't been an enough good choice out there.
Wonderful. Anyway, Richard, you have...
Are we out of time?
Yes, we are. You have a wonderful week, Richard, and we'll see you next week, and I'll be here. Sean Puckett, RegentsBank.com. Thank you for being here, Mr. Vice President, Mr. CEO.
Again, Laurels for Leaders Foundation, February 18th luncheon.
Right, and .org. Go to our website, or you can reach us on iymoney.com, by the way. Thank you to Neil and, Jason and Ethan from DealStruck.
Yeah, thanks, Neil, for having Ethan.
Yes,
whatever.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for having him. Thanks for having us. Thanks for you listening, folks. And thanks to Justin Hart, our sound engineer, who makes us sound good. And also to Craig Blank, our account executive. And to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. And get out and vote on Tuesday. We'll see who is going to be mayor next week. So have a great week, everybody.